Welcome. This is the Lowdown.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance, go.
The Lowdown. With Damian Barley.
You realize this is our radio show,
yeah,
right?
Jason Ross.
But they just need to get it right.
And Ken Rudolph.
My honest answer would be something that's probably going to be offensive.
The Lowdown.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility. The Lowdown.
You mad, bro?
You mad, bro?
Knowing nothing in life but to be legit.
Now.
Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't sick.
This is The Lowdown.
Hour number two, Friday edition. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Damian Barling, joined as always by the great Jason Ross and television's own Ken Rudolph.
Oh, I don't get to be great?
You're all right.
I don't get to be great today, player?
You the manly man. You the manly man with the manly minute.
Well, thank you so much. You know how hard it is to get my voice that deep? It's very hard, yes.
Do it again.
Thank you very much.
It's your regular voice.
No, it's not. This is my regular voice up here.
You do the other.
He was natural at singing high.
You do the 30s Chicago gangster voice though pretty well. We need your feedback. We need your input here on this segment. Three the hard way. You can get us on the phone lines 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's get started.
Three the hard way. Three the hard way.
The Spurs are out, and it felt a little bit like a funeral. Is this the end of Ginobili? Is this the end of Duncan? Is this the end of Ginobili, Duncan, and Pop? What happens with Tony Parker? We know the core is probably going to be LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard moving forward. Could there be another Spurs-like franchise? That's my question for you guys. An organization that has a coach that builds a system with his players, the players that he wants, they buy into the system and they run with it. Maybe even unassuming to a certain degree the way the San Antonio Spurs are. Can you see another organization like that in the National Basketball Association?
Well, the team that's come to the top of my head doesn't fit all the criteria, so I may be wrong on this. I feel like the Warriors are doing that, but they're not unassuming.
Right.
There's a lot of flash and style, and but they're set for a while. I mean, last year wasn't a one-year run. I don't know if they might win it again this year. They should be good for years to come. That's the first team that came to my mind, though.
You could even pick a team that's a work in progress. Ken, can you think of one?
Let me see. Let me ask E40. Nope. I don't see one. You know why? You're talking about something that started 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different era, a whole different kind of player. And I really do not believe that you are ever going to find a roster of 12 to 14 guys. Ever. That are going to buy in like the folks in San Antonio. Because once again, you're talking about a system that is anchored by a guy that started playing 19 years ago. And when you have a person like that, he's the leader. He sets the tone, so everyone kind of falls in line behind him. I don't think you're going to find another player like a Tim Duncan to be the cornerstone of your franchise for two decades.
Yeah, and coaches are such a big part of that. Remember, we gave the stat yesterday, 200-and-something coaches since Pop took over, and it's rare to keep a coach more than 3 years. So for him to be there that long, and the system, and they reinvented themselves as a defense to an offensive team to back to a defensive team. It's hard to do.
Portland.
Portland.
Why? How? When? Where?
You look at what they did this year, right? Damian Lillard, clear-cut leader.
Okay.
CJ McCollum emerges. Read this morning on Bleacher Report that they're working hard to get an extension with Terry Stotts done immediately.
Okay.
They got a few guys they need to resign. Myers Leonard, Mo Harkless, Alan Crabb. Want to get those guys locked up. They could have anywhere, depending on how many of their free agents, restricted free agents that they sign, they could have anywhere from $28 to $40 million in cap space. A Dwight Howard, an Al Horford, someone that sets you up a little bit. Now, Dwight and Al Horford are a little bit older than you'd probably want to go if you want to set up for a Spurs-like franchise. But if I had to pick one with an owner who will totally back you, with a general manager who will back you, and a guy who I believe is a great coach, Portland would be the one that I picked.
I guess my question is, because I was thinking about that, you're saying that now, and I think the operative term is now, they're working on an extension to keep Coach Stotts.
Yes.
And I don't remember there ever being a 12-hour negotiation for Pop. They were always like, you're coming back. You're coming back.
I have no explanation. I have no explanation as to why this deal wasn't done months ago.
And so I feel like that is what affects your culture. That's what affects you being your longevity as far as a dynasty is concerned. When you say, this is the establishment, this is who we have, there's never any question we're not making you wait until the end of the year. I think that affects
everything.
It could
be, and by no means do I know. It could be as simple as Terry Stott saying to his agent, I don't want to discuss this during the year. If we can't get it done during the All-Star break or we can't get it done before the season, we'll just wait. I trust that we'll get this done. Could be as simple as that. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't understand why a deal is not done yet.
Right.
But that could be a reason.
But those things, I think, affect it. So we'll see.
Three the hard way. Three the hard way.
All right, guys. Let's stay. I'll go ahead and stay in basketball. All right? I feel like three things have happened during this NBA playoffs run. And the thing about all professional teams, you have to go through a particular moment during the season or during the postseason where you kind of have to prove something to yourself or to your fans or to the organization. A little bit of adversity, a little something has to happen, and you have to go through that fire, so to speak. And usually when you come out, you're a much better, more confident team. So I feel like these three teams I'm going to list did some things that were important to their development this year. The Cavs did something where we didn't know if they were going to be able to do it. They came together. I mean, they really came together as a team during that first series against Detroit and again Atlanta. They're playing like a team that's destined to win. They kicked it up a notch, and we didn't know they could do that. So they did that. The Cavs proved to themselves, hey, we can kick it up a notch in the playoffs. The Warriors losing Steph Curry for quite a few games, but not really missing a beat at all, proved that in the playoffs they can still win without their star player. The Thunder, who we all felt like would definitely fold against the Spurs, proved that they could take that heat, proved that they could beat the best team at home in the league and the second best team in the entire league. They took it to them in the playoffs. My question to you is, which team proved the most? Which team got the most out of what they did thus far in the playoffs?
I think it's Cleveland.
Why?
Because Cleveland, said this many times through the regular season, even when they were winning, it didn't look right. There were just things about them that didn't look right. They didn't look cohesive. They would have games where LeBron was great, but Kevin Love and Kyrie were bad. They would have games where LeBron sat and Kyrie and Kevin Love were great. It felt like they never got on the same page until the playoffs. So whatever they did, whether it's going to the movies together, whether it's walking down the streets of Atlanta and going to get dinner together, whether it's taking pictures together and Kevin Love being involved, whatever it is, something with them seems to have clicked internally and have made them look substantially better than they were during the regular season. Because they were winning during the regular season, and it still looked like, oh, something just doesn't look right with them.
I'm going OKC because a couple things. One, they have a rookie coach. Two, one of their coaches had family tragedy. I mean, they had to overcome that. Your star player is uncertain whether he's coming back. You just played a historically good, the best Spurs regular season team ever, and you beat them there twice. And then you beat them three in a row to end. Now, their run may end here, but I think to this point, they've had to overcome a lot, and they're still dealing with, again, their best player maybe not coming back. That's impressive how they've handled this.
My choice, I'm going to go with you on Cleveland because I agree with you. During the regular season, there were so many points where I was like, what are they doing? They're not playing like an elite team at all, and then something happened. And LeBron, like you said before, he has the ability to flip that switch.
Mm-hmm.
He flipped it, went to another gear, and they went with him.
I'm not sure anyone in sports has that ability the way that he does. And what I guess what can be annoying about LeBron sometimes is he'll say he's going to do it, and then you actually see him do it. And his teammates have completely bought into that, which I don't know if it's going to be Toronto or it's going to be Miami, but it's going to be fun to see what they do in the next series.
Three the hard way. Three the hard way.
All right, guys, we've all had that opportunity to interview someone, good, bad, and different. But here's my question in that realm, as we've had that opportunity before. Would you rather have the chance to ask Greg Popovich what everybody would consider a terrible question and deal with that wrath, or never get a chance to ask someone you actually want to interview a question? So both are painful.
Never. I would rather never get to ask someone.
So whoever you really want to interview, you just never got a chance.
I'd rather never do it. Yeah. Never do it.
That is a good one. That's a tough one.
You can interview Vince McMahon if you go in front of the media and ask Greg Popovich a bad question. Yeah. No, thanks. I don't need to talk to Vince that bad. Nope.
Even if you could tell the story later, oh, yeah, I was the one that asked Pop.
Nope.
Whatever. And he laid
because
into me.
Because Pop can burn hole through
yes,
you.
He can
wither you to dust.
Yeah.
See, I
Ken's going to go ask that question.
I'm arrogant enough to think that I've got the question that's going to open him up. Yeah. I'm arrogant enough to think that.
But that's not the question. The question is, would you rather have to ask a bad question
to go and interview the person that I want to
And then you can interview Prince, assuming this was like a month ago.
Yes, absolutely. I understand what you're saying. I'll do it, yeah. I'll totally do it. Absolutely.
Pop, he gets him. What would you do?
I want the challenge of trying to ask Pop. I know it'd be awful, but I don't want to ask him a question. That was bad. And just can I get a follow up?
Can I ask another one? That will live forever.
If it's
a bad enough, there'll be articles written about you on Deadspin. Yeah. There'll be Instagram videos of your stupid question. It will live forever.
Does it matter the interview that I'm trying to get? Right? Like, because the interview I want, you know, if it were not the late great Prince, it's Michael Jordan at his house shooting hoops.
Okay, Ahmad Rashad. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. We'd love to hear from you on that question right there. Would you rather ask Pop a bad question and get to do the interview you always wanted to do? Or would you just say, nope, I don't need that. I don't need to talk to that person in my life.
Yeah, for you to get that sit down or Jordan's, you'd have to ask Pop like a series of bad questions.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Back with more of The Lowdown next. It's 118, time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. Breaking news coming in right now. Colorado Rockies shortstop Jose Reyes suspended through May 31st following a domestic violence investigation.
Not good. Not good.
Good for baseball.
Yeah.
Taking this seriously.
Oh, okay.
Taking it seriously. They've stepped up their suspensions and they're sticking with them. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jason Ross posed the question during Three the Hard Way. Would you rather ask Pop an embarrassing question that you know is going to live forever? You know Pop's going to eat you up. But in return, you get to do your dream interview. You get to ask your question to whatever. What would your dream interview be, by the way?
I don't know if I have one, but if it's even slated that way, then it's like, I'd definitely take the heat. I'd take it. Just, you know, it's bad.
But It will live forever.
Well, hopefully then the dream interview would too.
Well, okay, what if we amended the question and it was only a marginal interview that you got to do with that dream person?
No, that's okay. Yeah. I'll pass.
So your dream interview, and you were specific, Michael Jordan on a basketball court at his house.
At his house.
Couldn't even be at the YMCA or nothing. Had to be at his house.
No. Has to be at Jordan's house.
With the big 23 gate and the Jumpman logo on it.
Yeah.
You don't have a dream interview?
How about you? Do you?
I said Vince McMahon in the last segment, but it's probably Bill Clinton.
Okay.
Bill Clinton's probably the guy that I've always wanted to interview.
All right.
And, I mean, I'd settle for any ex-president. Even George W. Bush, I'd take that interview,
too. Yeah, that's awesome. It's a president.
No, any former president. I have a fascination with, former presidents and the history of them.
Yeah.
So I'd love to talk to one of them.
I'm with you on that. Absolutely.
But I still wouldn't want to ask Pop a question after a Game 6 loss of yesterday's magnitude under any circumstances. And I know people I think we all know sideline reporters who have had to talk to Pop, and they'll look at their game schedule and they know you have to prepare.
Yeah.
You prepare when you get that what am I going to ask Pop? And you better ask Pop a question that has an actual answer. Don't give him one of those lame generics. So talk about.
Yeah.
So tell us why. You better ask him a direct question that has a direct answer.
And even that, I thought yesterday, they lost. You get it. No one, he doesn't want to do it. We get it. But post game, I thought he was a little bit unfair to a couple reporters that I did think actually asked legitimate, critical questions, but he was done with them.
Now, we know that the league will penalize them if they don't show up and make themselves available. Do they have any room to penalize when they are unfair to the media just doing their job?
I don't think so. Now you start swearing or different things like that. They could say conduct, but I don't think they deem it in a way where you're like, you're not even going through the exercise.
To answer the questions. Yeah.
Here's Pop at practice that just shows the different. I should say, I'm sorry. Here's Pop at shoot around yesterday, and here's how you could see Greg Popovich, the different dynamics to him.
We're working on inventing a new play that nobody's ever seen before, and we're going to unleash it tonight. The Thunder won't know what the hell's going on.
That's a good idea.
Am I done yet?
So funny Pop. And then here's...
Is he really? Or just reporters that are nervous and they're just laughing because he's... I mean, seriously. you guys have been in...
Yeah. Fake, oh, fake laugh.
It's totally fake laugh because you're trying to get more out of Pop. He's not funny.
It is... But he's charming. That's like, we're going to invent a play for Game 6. No.
He's not charming because he's a jerk most of the time, so that's not charming. Does that make sense?
Bro, yeah, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? If he's not going to honor the question I'm going to ask you when it's important, but you want me to ha-ha-ha at your silly little joke at practice. That's the one thing that
drives me
crazy.
Well, I don't want you to ha-ha-ha. Those are just guys who just do it. You know, there's just certain people that you see that with. Guys walk in the room, they say one thing, and it's like, ha-ha-ha-ha. That's so great. Like, Gino Auriemma is a guy who does that. Like, I don't know if it's just his presence or whatever, but when you see him walk in a room, people just start, it's so funny, Gino, you're the greatest. Here's Pop post-game, slightly different mentality when asked about Tim Duncan.
Coach, would you comment on Tim Duncan and how he's played down the stretch and playing maybe his last tonight, or his last tonight?
Why do you say that?
I'm assuming.
Do you know something I don't know?
I don't.
Okay, I just want to make that clear. Timmy, he was playing really well. So we played him as much as we possibly could because he earned the minutes. He did a really good job.
Fine answer.
That's okay.
Right.
It was a fine answer. I mean, there was nothing wrong with that.
No,
he was just making it clear, like, you guys speculate so much. And if he watched the TV broadcast, boy, he'd be livid.
Yeah.
Because during that entire comeback, when Oklahoma City was up 26, that comeback was taking place while they were essentially eulogizing Tim Duncan.
Exactly.
Yeah. He was so great. He was this. And suddenly, I think it was Mike Breen who said, yeah, so while we were doing all that for Tim Duncan, they've cut the lead to 15.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. Now we got a game that we have to pay attention to after we just buried this guy. We threw the dirt on him. It's all over. Hmm. Oh, wait, not just yet.
See, I'm still in press conference mode now, because when that question was asked and he answered the question saying that Timmy earned the minutes, I'm already thinking of a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did he earn the minutes in the first five games of the series, Coach? Because he definitely did not as far as the box score is concerned. So did he earn the minutes because you felt like this might be your last chance and you thought you want to ride with your guy? Like, ask a question.
Yeah, and that was interesting because as we noted,
he played horribly in the first five games.
He didn't start the second half.
Mm-hmm.
He came back in at the start of the fourth quarter and they were down 26. So maybe he was thinking,
I'm rolling.
And that would have
guy.
Been a good follow up, but that's one of those things where Popovich makes you nervous as a reporter, I guess. And you don't want to ask a follow-up. No one's going to ask Greg Popovich the question you just asked as a follow-up.
I would have.
No one who has to deal with him on a daily basis is going to ask him the follow-up question you
and
just asked.
And maybe I probably
him.
Wouldn't have either. I'm saying that because
you
I'm,
say that tough here in Sacramento.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Here he is again just talking about how they played last night.
Well, we hung tough. We got great character. And I expected nothing less. We just went to the second half like it's 0-0 and did the best job we could, and I thought our guys were great in that respect.
He just sounds like a guy who just lost Game 6 and their season's over. I don't
yeah.
think there's anything wrong with that. He did use a word right there that I thought was interesting because that word came back up again when they asked Billy Donovan about the run that they made.
I knew at some point they were going to make a run. They got too much character and they're too good of a team. But our guys weathered it, and we got through it, and we found a way to close the game out. So, excited for all of our players. Those guys have done a tremendous job, and they've worked really, really hard getting prepared and ready to play each game. And just happy that, we get a chance to advance and continue to play.
Word character.
Yeah.
I kind of took that as an homage to the Spurs and to – Greg Popovich, because he obviously heard that. I it would be hard for me to believe that they used that word in that situation identically like that. And Pop was the first one up.
It's 20 years of winning, 20 years absolutely. Of experience, 20 years of failing and succeeding, all of it. They've been through it all.
Although I do find it interesting that Coach Donovan, I don't know if most coaches do this, that was such a generic answer.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't tell me anything about what you did to weather the storm. That didn't tell me anything about how you prepared yourself.
Because he didn't want to say we were just praying to God we didn't blow this
no,
game. He didn't
want
to say that publicly.
Why wasn't he say, we felt like we could weather the storm if we went with a different size, we went with a bigger lineup, we felt like that was going to be the great counter to keep them off balance, and it worked for us. Like, give me something specific. Give me something I can go home with.
No, they were literally just praying that they didn't blow this lead at home and get ripped for the next day and a half until Game 7 got here when they had to go back to San Antonio.
I wish a coach would say that.
Now, that would be refreshing.
That would be
awesome. That would be refreshing. Pop Warner bans the kickoff in certain age groups. We'll run that down for you next here on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Hey, watch the Sacramento Republic FC host the Seattle Sounders FC 2. That's tomorrow night. Match begins at 7:30 at Bonnie Field. Purchase tickets at sacrepublicfc.com.
slowdowns. We continue to roll along here in this 1 o'clock hour. We thank you so much for tuning in. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. If you want to get in, we'd love to hear from you. John, we appreciate your call. What do you got for us, my man?
All right, you guys, listen. First of all, how are you guys doing this afternoon?
Great. Super.
Mm. Good. All right. So what Ken said about interviewing Pop and being able to have that one-on-one with Michael Jordan, I would absolutely take his stink eye, his evil look, whatever he gave me, whatever he wanted to call me, because, you know, as a sports writer, you can always go right back in your paper and comment on what an a-hole he is. He could have just answered a nice little, you know, question you had for him. But I would absolutely take a verbal beating or his stare down to have the interview, the one-on-one, just play some basketball with MJ, just like Ken said. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I don't know, just the fear. Hey, thanks, John. We appreciate the call so much. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. He has laid into some people before.
Yes, he has.
And he's given that. I just don't know that I would just want to. I just don't know if I could sit through it, knowing that pot of gold, even with that pot of gold at the end of the tunnel, I don't know if I could sit through it.
Just bring a change of underwear and handkerchief to wipe your brow, because you're going to be sweating bullets.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to get that real hot feeling. Right, your skin's going to be turning red.
You're going to lift up. Your pit's going to be all soaked. Your armpits are going to be all wet.
And we got to totally amend the question now. Make it, you have to ask them after a Game 7 loss in the NBA Finals.
Ooh.
You have to ask him the dumbest question possible.
Well, the thing is, I've seen
live
people,
on ESPN.
Mm-hmm. Like when you're in the even at a pregame, so it's really low. You know, no one's really that riled up. It's before the game. Coaches come out hour and a half before tip off, and you could see people that are in the middle of a question, staring in his eyes, and then it just starts. Coach, do you think it like progressively just derails? You're like, hey, you started with confidence. You're at a 10, then you're down to like, do you? Are you going to win tonight? You know, it's like they crumble, and you're like.
I like turtles.
I'll leave now.
Never mind. I'm just dying for someone to go, never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. I put my hand up on accident.
Coach, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be right now?
But yeah, they just lose. They think like, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to ask this question that Pop's going to go, wow, that's a great question. And then they just crumble.
A line Pop has never, ever said. The closest Greg Popovich has come to charming when he's answered a question is with Craig Sager.
Yeah.
He obviously loves Craig Sager.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of amazing things for Craig Sager. Now, he'll give him a hard time. But now we know most of what he does in those interviews, because we know he hates those interviews, and most coaches do. It's an act.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show. The post-game press conferences, I don't think that's a show.
Yeah.
Like, he's generally annoyed by people. And remember, when you see a press conference, especially in the playoffs or after a home game, he sees those people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He sees those same guys. So he knows right away who's going to ask a dumb question and who isn't. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. A lot of text response. I guess I'm out on an island here saying I wouldn't want to do it. Like, I'd take the risk. My dream interview would be with The Rock, which that's a good one. Here's one. We haven't really discussed this since the season ended, and I don't know how this speculation has already gotten started, but this text here simply says, Spurs versus Kings for Mike Conley this offseason.
Mm.
There's an article written out there. I think it was on Pro Basketball Talk, or it might have been Sports Illustrated. I'm sorry if I'm crediting it wrong, about Mike Conley. There's already talks about Mike Conley being linked with the Spurs.
And that is, you know, as much as Sacramento, I would love him here, but talking about fit.
Yeah.
Looks much better in San Antonio. There's been rumors about Gasol going there. How about even Kevin Durant? I mean, they're a team that's got the winning culture, the winning franchise, too good. You know, Aldridge isn't super young, but he's not old. He's, what, 30, 31? But they're still going to be good next year, no matter what happens with all those other pieces. So that's a desirable location for some of these free agents.
I think this is the longest we've been able to go in a show without mentioning the Kings. I believe that was our first reference here at 136. So that's a good start over halfway through the show.
Who had 136 in the pool? Who had 136 in the pool?
We didn't even have it on the board.
Oh,
big board.
We didn't have it on the board.
That was other.
That money stays on the table.
Ride it into the next day.
Yeah. Roll it over next week.
Ride it into the next day. Which brings up a text that I ignored earlier when we were talking about the Spurs organization and who could be the next
Spurs organization. It said the Kings have been the Spurs in reverse.
Mm. Ouch.
There's always that one. Too ouch.
Real.
Yeah. Too real. A little too honest. Let's see here. 339-1140-1800-920-1140. I'm trying to. Everybody has an opinion on Pop, which is cracking me up. Some people say, oh, it's all fun and games. The other ones are like, oh, he's a total jerk. I would never want to talk to him.
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
But I think that's just I just think that's what he gives off, and he doesn't care. I think he's closer to that guy in the audio where he's saying, oh, we're going to draw up a play, and it's going to be all fun and game. You know, I think that's closer to him than the guy who's like, dude, just let's get this stupid press conference over with and get it over with.
Didn't at the end of that, didn't he say, am I done here?
Right.
But that's what he always says.
Yeah, he hates the exercise.
Or he'll sit up at the podium, and if they don't ask a question
stares.
He'll look around, and he'll go, okay, guys, thanks, and get up and leave. You better act quick.
The problem with some of that is legitimately there are bad questions, but not all of them are. Like I said last night, there was one I thought that was pretty sharp towards him. Said, hey, did you ever think about going small at some point earlier in this series or have any regret about that? And then he kind of went, you coaching this team? I wouldn't do that if I were you, or something like that. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of an edge to both of them on that.
And to a degree, I can understand. I'm not saying it's okay.
Yeah.
But I can understand that.
Yeah, because coach wants to be second-guessed.
Yeah.
Right?
And not even second-guessed, but second-guessed by someone who reports.
Yeah.
Like, you're a reporter. If he's second-guessed by Doc Rivers, to like, hey, maybe you should have – maybe he takes it differently.
Yeah.
Second-guessed by us.
Well, he don't know my life.
Go do your radio show.
I coach the rec team. You don't know my life. You don't know what I'm doing.
You guys had to play back-to-backs.
Yeah, you don't know.
You coach a T-ball team.
I'm just saying he doesn't know my life is what
I'm
saying.
You might coach the rec team.
Yeah,
he doesn't know that. Speaking of,
what's up?
Not rec, talking about Pop Warner here.
Okay.
Pop Warner is the first major organization in America that has banned the kickoff in its three youngest divisions, 5-7, 7-9, 8-10. I know by the look on your face you have a problem with that.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Half of me has a problem with it because I was raised on Pop Warner football, and if anyone's ever seen me, I'm barely 6 feet tall, 165 pounds. I've always been skinny, but my father raised me to have so much courage playing football and to play much bigger than I was, and it really helped me with confidence as a young man, and it gave me an entryway into friendships with other people and just helped me develop as a young child, and I thought it was just great, and I want my son to do the same thing. However, I am aware that I got lucky because I can think of numerous situations where I stuck my head in places I did not need to be at my size, and I could have gotten seriously hurt. So I do understand the concern for the kids, especially it seems like, I don't know if the game is getting harder or if it's getting more violent. I'm not sure. But I do understand the concerns about the safety of the kids. But I think they get so much out of going through the adversity of playing football.
But it's just one play. It's just the kickoff. That's all it is.
But it's just once you start taking that away, then what else are you going to take
away?
They've already taken away. You can't have a lot of contact in practice during the week. You get maybe one day of contact in practice during the week. How else are you going to learn how to hit properly if you're not doing that in practice? So once you take that away, then what else are you going to take away? Then what else are you going to take away? Next thing you know, you've completely eroded away the quality of the game. But I do understand the safety concern. I have a child, and I don't want my son to get hurt out there either.
We mentioned Colorado Rockies shortstop Jose Reyes being suspended till May 31st. Said about 2 weeks.
Yeah, a little over.
He's going to lose just a shade over $7 million in those 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Just throwing that out there for you. We'll come back with more of the Lowdown next. Welcome back to the Lowdown. We thank you so much for tuning in. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling. We're going to talk about the Sacramento Kings in the third and final hour. Now that they've got their coach, got the front office set, what's the next move that they need to make? We got that on the way. We've been talking all morning, obviously, about the game last night, Oklahoma City and the San Antonio Spurs, and that kind of spun off into a conversation about Greg Popovich and how he deals with the media. And there's no better person to talk about Greg Popovich and those sideline reports and dealing with the media than this woman, Doris Burke. DB, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us.
I am sitting here smiling the opportunity to talk to you guys. I can't wait.
Doris, have you ever asked Pop, this was something we were talking about this hour, have you ever asked Pop just a real dud and he looked at you like, are you kidding me right now?
Oh, yeah. I've had many, many of them. The first time I did it, Damian, it's years ago. It's the first year we're doing it. And I'm trying to prove to him how smart a basketball person I am. and that's a bad mistake.
Yeah.
But you want so badly for him to respect you and how you approach the game and how you prepare. But basically, I asked him a terrible question. And it ended with, what was the problem with your defense? And he hesitated for a moment, and his face went red, and he's staring at me. And I can only tell you that his answer so scared me, Damian, that I babbled my way through a second question. I was on my way back to my seat, and the producer came in my ear and said, "Do you mind if we don't run it?" And I said, "Thank you for not embarrassing me."
Wow.
It was that bad. I had one a couple years ago in the finals, and he was so upset at his team's turnovers that regardless of the two questions I asked, he said, "Turnovers, turnovers." And I kid you not, I walked back to my seat and I was on the verge of tears. And the producer came in my ear and said, "DB, you have to tell me when that blank is so funny." And I thought, it's funny to everybody but the person standing there on national TV.
Mm. Yeah, and is there genuine heat there, Dora? Because it's uncomfortable to watch it. You've lived it. How lonely is that, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds?
I have to tell you this. There was a very long time where I gave Greg Popovich a pass on this because privately he is so kind. Mike Breen has said, "Do you mind if I ever coming out of those say to the audience how much respect he has for you?" I said, "If you do what you think is right, Mike." But it doesn't make a difference. I know that Pop respects me, and I know that he is as sweet can be off of the air. And I used to give him a pass, but I will tell you frankly, I am nearing my wit's end because he says privately, outside of the heat of the moment, that he can't help it. He's locked into the game and he finds it such a disruption. And you both know what it is. This is a message to the league. But the reality is this. I have sat at home many nights and watched on occasion where there's no sideline reporter, and that means Jeff Van Gundy or perhaps somebody who played in the NBA goes over to Pop. And he's never that rude to the members of the NBA fraternity. And so I am no longer giving him a pass because I'm at the point where I'm saying to my bosses, why do we do this? I get it's his message to the NBA, but he is taking it out on the least powerful person on the broadcast, the sideline reporter. He either shouldn't come over, accept the fine, but to me, it's something has to change here. I really believe that. I just, it's so hard, guys. I'm not, you know, and again, I have enormous respect for him. His achievements as a basketball coach, certainly, but far more respect for who he is as a person. I don't have respect watching me and my colleagues go through this anymore. I don't.
I heard that.
Wow.
Hey, Doris, we've never spoken. My name is Ken, and this is going to be super inappropriate. I love you. You're awesome. You're amazing. But my question is, and I'm wondering, you have such a deep history with basketball, obviously a collegiate player, and you know what you're talking about. But it seems like a lot of people go from being a broadcaster to being a coach. Do you have any interest in doing that sort of thing, being a coach?
Well, my first 2 years prior to broadcasting, I was a coach. I went back to my alma mater and was an assistant coach for 2 years and absolutely loved it, Ken, to be honest with you. But I wanted to be married and have children. And you know what is required of coaches at the collegiate and at the professional level. You know, it's a 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year job. At Providence College, I was in the gym at 7 for individual workouts. I was leaving at 10 o'clock after I was done with recruiting calls. There have been many women who have pulled that off seamlessly. I did not think I could be that person, so I made the choice and fortunately got incredibly lucky to do the job that I do now because it did afford some measure of being a mom and still having some professional existence. But I hope someday to go back to it, to be perfectly honest with you. When I'm done with this, there is something very special about working cooperatively with others and the competitive juices that flow from from, you know, sort of being in it and working every day toward something that's special. So the answer, that was a long-winded way of saying, yes, I do see myself at some point.
I love that. I do want to follow up. And speaking of coaches, we had a little discussion maybe about a week ago concerning Nancy Lieberman and Becky Hammon. And obviously they're both currently assistant coaches. I feel like Nancy deserves a shot to be a head coach. Others feel like Becky deserves a shot to be a head coach. I don't want to split hairs on the two, but what do you think about longevity and waiting your turn to get the opportunity?
Yeah, I certainly think that both of those women, if you're talking about at the NBA level, they still have some tutoring to do, right? I mean, you know, regardless of gender, in the NBA, no one is handed a head coaching job unless you have been a long-tenured player in the league or, you know, generally speaking, opportunities come to those who have paid their dues. And I would assume that both of those women feel as though that they need more time. And I'll tell you specifically, I had an opportunity to catch up with Becky on this particular series. And I was asking her, you know, how is year two compared to year one? And she said, well, thank God the game has slowed down. She said, everything a year ago was coming at me so fast. You know, you are trying to learn different teams, how coaches coach, what their style is, players' tendencies. I mean, there is so much coming at you so fast on the NBA level. Do I believe long-term that a woman deserves a chance? Of course I do. But like every other job, you pay your dues. It takes time, sometimes frustratingly long, to get where you want to be. But there was a beautiful moment last night that I don't think was caught on camera. Halftime of the game, and out of the locker room come the Spurs. And I watched this sort of interplay between Tony Parker and Becky Hammon on the sideline. And obviously it was tough circumstances, but both were very animated. And there was clearly a discussion about some things that could change with the Spurs. And Tony was completely invested, guys, in what Becky Hammon was saying. And I just sat there, and as a, you know, a member of the distaff side, it just made me smile, because I thought, okay, she's earned her stripes. He's looking her eye to eye. He's accepting her coaching, right? And that's part of it. You have to accept coaching. And so that was special for me. It was a very special moment that I don't think was caught on camera last night.
That is cool.
It is.
I love hearing that. Thank you, Doris.
Doris Burke, before we let you go, what are your thoughts on last night's game and the series going forward with Oklahoma City and Golden State?
You know, it's interesting, Damian. We were talking before the game, you think this goes seven. A lot of people were saying we thought San Antonio was going to win. It seemed to me that, and once the game started coming every other day, I thought it was going to be very hard for San Antonio to win. It was why I thought they had to win game three in Oklahoma City, which they did. But you're just talking about two of the best players in the world. And I think an underrated aspect of this, and I was just talking to a colleague, and you know him, Kim Belton. He and I were talking about the game last night, Damian. And we said Steven Adams, he can play, and he is crucial to their success. And I would love to know what you guys think. And forgive me for going long here, but what do you think? Can they beat Golden State?
We were talking about the matchups earlier, Doris. If they go small, which we expect Golden State will, with Harrison Barnes on the floor, Draymond Green at the five, Andre Iguodala, Steph, Clay, I don't know how effective, because Cantor and Adams together were really, really good in this Spurs series. I don't know that they can replicate that against the Golden State Warriors.
Can they punish them on the backboards, get offensive boards, keep Golden State out of transition? This is going to be a fascinating thing, right? Because the vast majority of the NBA has decided offensive rebounds are no longer important, that they're transition defenses, so they don't send anyone to the glass. But in this copycat league, if Oklahoma City dominates the offensive glass, keeps Golden State out of transition, does that give them a shot? I don't know. I just can't wait to see it. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm excited.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm more excited than I was before.
That's right.
Doris, thanks for doing this on such short notice. We love you. We got to do it again.
You know you're the best, Dame. My pleasure anytime. Ken, nice talking to you as well. Be well, guys.
Thank you,
Doris.
All right,
DB.
You're awesome.
We'll come back third and final hour next on The Lowdown.